Hey gang, welcome to Dateline Louisiana, a provocative look at the deepest of the deep southern states. Thoughts that are informative, candid, humorous, and sometimes controversial about life in one of the most interesting and rabble-rousing states in the nation. Here are your hosts, Ronna Gray and Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to our program. I'm Jim Brown with my co-host, Ronna Gray. Ronna, good to see you today.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, and we're going to have a lively discussion about things that affect us here in the state. If you are new to our podcast, we emphasize the interesting things we think of living in Louisiana, but often we'll try to find issues that affect not just our state, but the country as a whole, and using our state as kind of an example. And we're going to do that today. And by the way, if you go to past programs, you'll see we've discussed the great food we have down here, the music, the politics, and a number of things that make Louisiana interesting. One thing that we're known for, or I don't want to use the word shenanigans, but some of the colorful things that happen in terms of politics down here. We had a governor named Earl Long. His brother was Huey Long, who most of you in America will know, who was a serious threat to run for president against Franklin Roosevelt back in 1940. And his brother Earl said, "Oh, Lord, when I die, be sure and bury me in Louisiana so I can stay active in politics." And so we tell these jokes about the election cycle, but Ronna and I both know something about this. The elections in virtually every state in the country are run by the Secretary of State. That's usually the third in line behind you got the governor, the lieutenant governor, and the Secretary of State. Secretary of State oversees the business functions, has various degree of responsibilities, but the basic responsibility is running elections. And Ronna was my first assistant when I was Secretary of State. We were in that office for 8 years, from 1980 to 1988. And in that capacity, we looked on ourselves as high-ranking bureaucrats who just saw that the elections were run in a legal and ordinary manner. Few controversies take place. Well, Ronna, that sure has changed today, and I'll give you one example, and I want you to get your thoughts on this. Secretaries of State are in the firestorm of controversy. I mean, being charged, they should be indicted. Let me give you one. This is a candidate out in California, Rachel Ham. She's running for Secretary of State out there. And she says that the future of America is at stake. It doesn't matter who's running for assembly or for governor. It doesn't matter who the governor is. What matters is who counts the ballots. That's the Secretary of State. That's the most important office there. So it sure has changed in perspective, hasn't it?
I just have one question for you. Were you getting death threats when you were Secretary of State about the votes weren't being counted fast enough or anything like that? And I was completely unaware. I thought it was a well-run office, and one of the better things America does is vote.
A poor guy in Georgia, he comes home at night, and his kids are out there in tears because they're picketing and they're singing songs, anti-songs to him or something, in front of his house. And they stay there and pick it all night long.
All right.
And nobody cared enough about them here. And you know, they ran pretty smoothly. But, boy, it's a different world now out there. So, Ronna, the MyPillow guy you see on TV, Mike Lindell, he's formed an organization called America First. They're putting up a slate of candidates for Secretary of State in states all across the nation. He formed his organization because he believes most secretaries of state are corrupt and should all be replaced. They let our country be taken through computers. That's the MyPillow guy, what he's saying about the secretaries of state. So you're just
getting. And he wonders why, when he called the January 6th special committee and said, I'll be glad to come give testimony, they said, "No, we're good."
They didn't want him, huh?
No.
Here's New Mexico candidate Audrey Trujillo. She takes her criticism a step even further. She says the state voting systems overseen by secretaries of state are, quote, no better than any other communist country like Venezuela or any of these other states where our elections are being manipulated. Your vote hasn't counted for decades. You can't elect anybody. So
the other thing I find just bizarre is the voting machines. I mean, these voting machine companies, I mean, there's a more than $1 billion lawsuit filed by Dominion Voting Machines. Their reputation has been severely damaged, if not destroyed, by claims, just crazy claims of things that how they were manipulated.
By allegations that the voting machine,
itself was manipulated. So what do you do if you're a company supplying equipment to election and this happens and suddenly, I mean, in Louisiana, a simple process of the Secretary of State purchasing new voting machines was shut down by the Louisiana legislature, and the legislators insisted on getting involved in selecting the company.
Well, it's good politics because there's a feeling, and it's played up in the media to some degree, that, you know, the voting machines are often tied electronically by Wi-Fi, so the votes can be counted directly to the parish or county offices, and it's very streamlined system that you normally would say that makes sense, but there's the allegation that that's open to fraud, that a computer hacker can go into those machines and actually change the votes. And I hope that's not the case, but Dominion and others maybe have not done as good a job as they should in terms of refuting some of these charges. Unless you can do it. I don't think you can do it. I just don't know. But one of the knocks on these machines is there's no paper trail. You just by the internet are fed the document totals, and that's what you get, and that could be intercepted, manipulated, and changed, and that's one of the knocks. And both the voting machine people and the Secretary of State, quite frankly, have not really refuted these allegations in strong terms. I guess they're all kind of walking on hot coals in their local states,
right,
with elections coming up, trying to fend it politically.
And we have this perfect storm of, we've talked before on previous podcasts about our gun laws becoming more lax and where you can carry, open carry with guns. And then you're talking about the Secretary of State, the Michigan Secretary of State, who was watching how the Grinch stole Christmas with her 4-year-old son, and suddenly armed protesters outside her home. Now, what do you think? You're in the house with a 4-year-old, armed protesters, not just picketing your office or picketing outside, gun carrying. I mean, it's just gotten death threats. The death threats against elected officials.
And
I wonder why anyone would run.
And I read an article a couple of days ago about Georgia elections officials. People that worked at the polls,
right,
are getting these same threats. So it's not just the higher-ups, the secretaries of state, but it's people that are working at the polls are being challenged. And so,
well, the January 6th hearings, the woman and her mother from Georgia, and people showed up at the woman's mother's house, which would be the grandmother's house, and she opens the door, like they said, and they push past her into there looking for the daughter and granddaughter who worked counting the votes. They said, "We're here to make a citizen's arrest." And the grandmother, you know, didn't even know what they were talking about. But now they're coming to your house to make citizen's arrest.
Unbelievable.
Over counting the votes.
The MyPillow guy, Mike Lindell, I talked about, his organization, American First, they've got a platform calling for moving to paper ballots, eliminating mail voting, and aggressive voter roll cleanup. Well, you know, Rana, in 1980, that's kind of what we had. We had paper ballots from the machines. We had very restrictive mail ballots. Let me tell you how restrictive the mail ballot was. Now, here I'm the chief elections officer. I'm the Secretary of State, and I need to be in my office on election day. So, but I voted 2 hours north in my little town of Faraday. Well, how could I go vote? Because I couldn't absentee vote. You see, you had to be out of the state. That was the only reason I could get to go vote. And so what I would do, I'd get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, hop in my car, and drive the 2 hours up to Faraday. I would make a stop in town at Hubert Lee's donut shop, because Hubert Lee was up making hot donuts, and I got a couple of boxes from the commissioners, all who I knew on a first-name basis. Went out to Ward 1, Precinct 1 of the Fleming's Flying Service. It was a hangar, airplane hangar. That's where you voted on Ward 1, Precinct 1. I'd visit with the commissioners for a few minutes, gave them each a box of donuts, cast my vote, the first one to do so, got back in my car, dashed back to the state capitol in Baton Rouge, and was there by about 8:15 in time to be sure that the elections were running properly. So it was a real labor of love for me to vote. I want to tell the pillar guy, Mike Lindell, that some of us go to the extra mile, but what he says is the way to stop it. That's what we had in 1980, exactly what we had in 1980.
One of the things I thought was hard to understand about this whole election brouhaha of the presidential election was we were moving towards making it easier for people to vote. And we were doing that. Some states like California opening up where you could vote for multiple days. There's no longer election day. Early voting, we have in Louisiana an early voting week. You don't any longer have to give that excuse that you're going to be out of the state. You can just go early vote and get it over with because you might have a conflict. So then we have the pandemic, and some people take measures to make it easier for people to vote without having to go stand in long lines. And then you have harder to find people to work elections because of the pandemic, because when you go to your precinct and vote, I bet you a steak dinner that you've got some older people working at the precinct all day. So those were the first people that were unavailable to work an election because of the pandemic. So the former president goes crazy over all these ways of making it easier for people to vote. And I kept thinking, that's probably his vote. You know, a lot of the older, more conservative voters. I mean, he was probably hurting himself in all these ways he was trying to make it harder to vote. I don't think it was just minority voters who might vote Democratic. I mean, it hurts both sides. I don't know. I don't understand what logic there would be targeting those early voters or people who like to vote by mail, didn't want to go in a pandemic. I thought those.
Well, in some states, for example, they made it very easy to absentee vote. And actually, you could ask for an absentee ballot, and there would be an association or some group that would make the request for you. And there may be 50 or 100 absentee ballots coming into one location. Then those folks, after you voted, would gather up all those ballots and could drop them off at drop centers across the state. And that became very controversial because, you know, if you have the ballot, you can kind of mark whoever you want to on the ballot. And so I'm sure there were some abuses that could be tightened up in a reasonable fashion, quite frankly.
But I don't think the abuses helped or hurt one side or the other. So it seemed to me that by making a big deal of it, you were probably going to void or take away a lot of your own vote as well as your opponent's, no matter which side you were on.
Well, after the election is over and you lose,
right?
Then you don't really care about it might be equal. You're just saying, my votes would have made a difference. The election was stolen from me. And yet there's not been any example of votes. There's always some miscues or, some little thing that can go wrong in an election where in our home state here, Louisiana, I mean, you got, I would guess 3 million registered voters. Things go wrong, occasionally. But does it, have a real bearing on the outcome of the election? Very, very rarely does it. You don't hear of elections being that close. And in the Trump situation,
you don't hear anywhere of 10,000 vote moves or anything like that. You don't. You just don't hear that. You're right. You know, there's been some close elections. We just had one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. A judge's race decided by 2 votes. I just saw a bumper sticker today that said, was about that election, saying, my vote mattered. Well, if you voted in that election, your vote did matter.
Yeah, the judge in the election was a good friend of mine, had done some legal work for me before, and I told him that what he ought to put on his door, that, you know, he ought to put the Honorable, and then called him Landslide, you know, mm-hmm. the Honorable Landslide, you know, because he won by two votes.
Two votes. And we didn't hear his opponent say anything about the election being stolen.
No, they looked it all over, and they were pretty much
right.
Routinely run-of-the-mill, as they are in a variety of states. Now, there's some things that can't be looked over. In Louisiana, absentee votes have to be in by election day. If there's a ballot even for someone in the military, you can ask for that ballot a month or so in advance. But so that when the votes are counted in most states called counties, we call parishes here, all the votes have to be in. So you pretty much have the results on election night. In some states, you can wait up to 2 weeks later for the absentee votes to come on in. So there ought to be some uniformity. There is no uniformity. I mean, each state has it differently. In Mar State, Louisiana, the Secretary of State does the actual printing of the ballots and distributes the ballots into the various locales. In a majority of the states, the local clerk of court actually prints the ballots up. So there's not uniformity, but of course that goes into the philosophy of our founding fathers, where they wanted elections to be run on a local level as local officials saw fit to protect their local voters. So that's how it is, and that's probably not going to change too much. You're not going to have a uniform ballot. We don't have uniform election days. We just don't have that in this country because it's how our nation was initially set up.
I think you're right about that, but we don't know what's going to change because there's a movement across the country, as you were mentioning, the Secretary of State being one of the key races in every state, the local election boards being important, the local clerk of court or whoever counts your votes, and legislatures changing laws in some states that do allow them to go in and replace an election board if they disagree with them. They're actually passing these laws in some places. So I think you'll have a lot of fireworks in the future. I think it's going to continue to be very heated once this plays out.
Well, this whole challenging the election, when Mike Pence, the vice president, said that there was no justification and challenged the election. You've got some awfully strong conservatives. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina said, I'm done. The election is over.
Bill Barr.
Well, that's right. The attorney general, Trump's appointee's attorney general. So that is, quite frankly, he saw an opportunity and if you could have done it legally, but there's no way to have done what he wanted to do legally, quite frankly.
Right.
So he was just trying to play the system, and it didn't work. So that is behind us. But there's conspiracy theorists that buy into what the ex-president says, and there's a significant amount of people in this country. Didn't happen. You know, when Al Gore lost an extremely close election that some people say should be challenged, and where the Supreme Court gave a terrible ruling against Gore, he said, look, I'm not going to challenge this. We got to get on with running this country.
Right.
Richard Nixon, back in when he ran against John Kennedy back in 1968, 10,000 votes could have changed the whole outcome of the election. And there was allegations of voter fraud in Chicago with Mayor Daley. And that's today that still resonates. Well, he said, no, I'm not going to challenge the election. And so you had some very responsible people saying we've got to accept the results. The country's got to move on. And that has been the tradition for many, many years up to the time that our past president, President Trump, came in office and took on the challenge. And now it's upended the whole approach. As I've read out what all these candidates are saying, you know, that They're saying there's outright fraud. The Secretary of State's participating in it. And it's just a whole different world in terms of the smooth running of elections in this country today.
Right. No, I totally agree. But it's out of control at every single level. There's just so much controversy in this country over everything politically. You know, gun rights and abortion and voting rights, and it's just unbelievable. And we're at a point where, you know, we're in an election cycle and people can't hold old-fashioned rallies because they're disrupted. You mentioned booing candidates and security issues. Liz Cheney, congresswoman, and the Congress, we're in a year when all the Congress representatives are up for re-election, can't hold a rally because of security issues in her state. And it's just, we've just never seen anything like this. I mean, we've never seen democracy on the brink in my lifetime. I don't think we ever have.
The only thing I would say, not to defend what's happening, but in terms of the elected officials, you know, these public officials want to get reelected, and they're not just out there putting out some absurd allegation, thinking that they've made up because that's something they believe deep in their hearts. They're reflecting what they think the voters want to hear. You know, I've said this before, elected officials in this country today are either as good or as bad as the people that put them in office. And what was Disraeli that had the famous saying that the people are moving in the streets, and I've got to get out in front of them because I'm their leader. So, you know, these candidates are playing into a mood that they sense in that state that's going to get them elected. So there's and you used the word traditional earlier. And well, traditionally, things ran very smoothly in 1970, or 1980. But, you know, this is a whole different world today, Ron. In 1980, there was no Pride organization. There was no aggressive gay rights activity. Black Lives Matter didn't exist. All of the various events that have happened that have brought a very aggressive minority who speak out on any number of issues. You didn't have that in 1980. And I could go right down the line with you. So there's a whole constituency of different people. Look at the Congressman Cortez up in New York. She was a bartender and ran against an ingrained incumbent, talking about a very liberal left-wing agenda, and he gets elected and is one of the leading voices in the whole country today. In the entire nation. So it's just a different world out there is the point I'm saying.
And our country's more diverse. You're right. Our country's more
and there's some
culturally and racially diverse.
You know, Hispanics are much more aggressive in terms of demanding their participation and aids that were not given them before. So all that is bringing about the change of the traditionalist approach that we used to take. And I don't see any end to it.
I don't either. Yeah. That's the scary part.
Yeah, unfortunately. So.
And then on top of that, the climate's getting hotter and hotter and hotter and driving us even crazier. So I don't see it ending well.
Well, I hope we're wrong. I hope we're wrong. Listen, Rana, thanks for being with me today or for participating with me today as my co-partner in this podcast. We hope you folks have enjoyed it. We talked today about the election cycle. We're going to continue here in 2 weeks to talk about Ukraine, taking a local tack and some thoughts about Ukraine. So we hope you'll stay tuned and join us. You can get a list of our shows and see just what we're doing and be able to contact us by going to
DatelineLouisiana.com.
Go to DatelineLouisiana.com and you pull it up. There'll be contact information up there. And you can, and actually, you'll be able to hear these podcasts on that site, the past podcasts, if you want. It'll all right be there for you. So take a look at it. Hey, thanks for listening, all you folks. We'll talk to you in the near future. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Dateline Louisiana with Jim Brown and Ronna Gray. to subscribe to this podcast or contact Jim or Rana, visit DatelineLouisiana.com. We hope you'll join us again next week for more news and reflections from the Bayou State.